Good evening. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity to spend time this evening in your word, even if brief. We pray that you would be faithful to us as we attempt to meditate on your commandment from John 13, that it would not return void, that it would make its way not just into our minds, but into our hearts for your glory and for our good. We pray all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't know if this is true for everybody else here, but I could probably count on one hand the amount of Maundy Thursday services that I've been to in my life. It's not been that many. And I know it's still even somewhat new to Carriage Lane. We've only had them the last 2 or 3 years. And that's pretty typical for most of the Western Evangelical Church. It's very few churches regularly will hold Maundy Thursday services during Holy Week. But we know it's a day to gather as the body of Christ to commemorate the events of the Last Supper, and as Rick mentioned earlier, more particularly, the mandate that's contained within the Last Supper. That's that word, Maundy. It means mandate, or the command, that we see in John 13, 34. And so we find this mandate here, this command, that directly follows the account of Jesus washing his disciples' feet, and also immediately after Jesus' foretelling of Judas' betrayal. And so with that, let's look in our bulletins, or if you have your Bible open, let's read this verse from John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. During my preparation, as I was spending time in this passage and in this verse, I had the Keith Green medley running in my head. This is my commandment, that you love one another. And that was a song that I heard quite a bit growing up. But even though it was running in my head, I realized there was a key word missing in that medley. And it is this word, new. This verse says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And so this should cause us to ask a question. What is new about this commandment? What is here in this commandment that we see in John 13 that we haven't seen previously, whether from other words that Jesus has spoken to the disciples or even earlier in Scripture with all that God commanded of the people of Israel? We can go back to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, and see in the law, it says, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So the command to love isn't new, but we still see here in John 13 that there's something new about this commandment in particular. What is it? I think the new command comes from a change in the source of that love. Previously, God's people were called to love others, to love their neighbors as they loved themselves. Now Jesus is telling them, no longer as you love yourself, but as I have loved you. So the source of this love has changed. The first, namely that of love your neighbors as you love yourself, is very finite. As much as we live in a culture that has an increasing presence of self-love and self-care, we know that that self-love will obviously always fall short. Our capacity to love ourselves cannot save us. Our ability to love ourselves cannot absolve us of guilt for our sin. If our ability to love others finds its ceiling or its cap in how much we can love ourselves, it is limited beyond our belief. And so the kind of command given here takes this first command and stretches it out much further beyond our human finite ability to love. Christ places his love for us as the new source for the love that we ought to have for one another. Therefore, a new commandment. And so we've moved from loving others as we love ourselves to loving one another as Christ has loved us. But what particularly does this mean? How is this different? And in what ways does the love of Christ go even further than our own love? To answer this, we really don't have to look too far from where we already are in John 13. We can see, as I mentioned just before this, Jesus is washing of his disciples' feet, looking back just a few verses. Feet that were uncovered by socks and enclosed shoes, most likely coated in mud, in dust, possibly manure. And so to handle and clean and wash feet like this was a job that was set aside for the least of the least of the least. It was not just a humbling, but it was a humiliating job, given only to servants and slaves at that time. And yet, we see Christ sets aside his authority, his social standing, his place, washing the grimy feet of his disciples and saying in verses 12 through 14 of this same chapter, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me a teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Like I said, this culturally was more than just an act of humility, it was humiliation. This is why we initially read of Peter's sharp response, refusing to allow Jesus to wash his feet. He knows what it means for someone to wash the feet of another, and he rightly knows who Jesus is. He is appalled that Jesus would wash anybody's feet. Jesus then calls us to love one another as he has loved us, to love unto humiliation. And then, of course, after the words of the new commandment, just a couple chapters later, Jesus is turned over to the authorities by Judas. He is tried, he is condemned, he is beaten, nailed to a cross, and dies, suffering the judgment and punishment for our sinfulness. Jesus commands his disciples to love one another as he loves them, and shortly after, he loves them unto death. This love was unwavering, it was unconditional. Even in the midst of Peter's denial of Christ, Christ still loves Peter unto death. And so this new commandment that Christ has given doesn't just go a few steps further than the original commandment. This is a love that is unto self-humiliation, a love that is unto death. Before Christ, there was a commandment to love one another just as much as we love ourselves, and now there is a commandment to love one another infinitely more than we love ourselves and can love ourselves. And so, brothers and sisters, this is the love that we are called to have for one another. To love unto humiliation and death means that we are called to consider others as more important than ourselves, to be deferential toward others, even in the midst of pain that may be caused by our brothers and sisters. At times, to look beyond our own sense of betrayal, our own sense of being genuinely hurt, our own sense of rightness, to humiliate ourselves in how much we show love, to die to ourselves for the sake of the love of Christ amongst the body. This also means that when a brother or sister is in need or in pain or struggling, we are called to look beyond our own comfort, to look beyond our own priorities or schedules, and to look to Christ. If someone comes and knocks on your door, if they are in need, we stop and we consider Christ's love for us. Put away our selfishness and love, just as Christ loved us. It's difficult to flesh out the meaning of this mandate without going to the book of 1 John. 1 John, in large part, really is a commentary on this mandate. He goes in depth to explain all the ins and outs of this mandate. And so, seeing that it's a built-in commentary on this new commandment to love, I'm going to read a couple verses from the third chapter, verses 16 through 18 of chapter 3 of 1 John. It says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." To hold these two things together is actually quite a daunting commandment. The idea to love others as Christ loved us. It's daunting and seems impossible. And so one question remains. If, in our own human nature, and by our own power, our capacity for love is limited by our capacity to love ourselves, how then are we supposed to be obedient to this new commandment? How then are we supposed to love one another as Christ has loved us? Does this come from our own willpower, from our own volition, Is this command similar to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7 when he says, "For I wish you were like me"? Is Jesus commanding us to be like him here? For most in our culture, that's how a relationship with Jesus is understood. Go be like Christ, change your ways, refrain from sin, imitate Christ. If that's the ideal with which we understand this command, it's Jesus simply saying, "Brothers, imitate me." To understand our relationship with Christ merely as one of imitation would lead to a disappointingly underwhelming Christian walk. And so John gives further clarification to the spiritual reality that is at play here in the second chapter of 1 John, saying in verses 8 to 10, "At the same time, it is a new commandment." He's speaking, of course, of this same new commandment that Jesus gave in John 13. "At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling." This passage does not say that this new commandment is true of Christ. It says it is true in Christ. Fulfillment of this new command is only possible in Christ, for those who are in the light, for those who are abiding in him. And these realities are only possible due to what Christ would do in the following days after giving this commandment. He gave us this command. He gave the disciples this command and knew that in their own will and capacity, they would be completely unable to fulfill it. So he went and he gave his life, putting our old nature to death with him, and rose again, raising us to new life with him, so that in all of this, he could draw us to himself, and only by being in him, we can fulfill this commandment. This command is much more than just one of mere imitation. It is one of Christ's love flowing out of us as a result of truly abiding in him. When we are called to love as Christ loved us, it does not mean to love like Christ loved us, but to love one another with the very love that Christ has given to us. It is not imitation of the love of Christ, but rather participation in the love of Christ. And so contained in this Maundy Thursday mandate is not just a new commandment, but a new power by which to fulfill this commandment. A call to love and a promise that Jesus, despite our own inability to love unto humiliation and death, will work in us and on us to be able to fulfill that commandment. And so as we continue through the remainder of Holy Week, I encourage you to dwell on this reality. As we gather tomorrow to dwell on the suffering and the death of Christ, and on Sunday to celebrate his resurrection, remember that it is because of his death and resurrection that we are even given the ability to be obedient to this commandment, to love beyond the finite capacity of our own human nature. It is because of him that we were able to serve and to care for others beyond our own desire and beyond our limitations. And it is because of him that in all of these things, we are able to give God the glory that he is due. Let's pray. Father, what a wonderful call and promise. Lord, we see in it the reality that we are broken and sinful and unable to live in obedience outside of your son Jesus. And so Lord, as we approach the table to partake in your body and your blood, would you draw our hearts to you? Would you cause us not just to remember, not just to imitate, but to participate? Would you help us to grow in that love, that we would be a body of believers that exemplifies the love that you have called us to, not just love of our own ability and own volition, but love for one another unto death for your glory. We pray all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.